Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Well, you know, you've got that stubborn belly fat, and you're always thinking, what can get rid of it? You see on late night TV the pills and the different exercises that get rid of belly fat, but we all know that there's really no magic pill, and you can't really truly spot reduce. But maybe there are certain foods that you can eat that may not head directly to your middle. My guest is Dr. Felicia Stoller. She's a nutritionist, exercise physiologist, and author of Living Skinny and Fat Genes. So, Dr. Stoller, let's talk about belly fat and clean eating. Is there a combination there between clean eating and the way we women sort of put that muffin top around?
Well, first of all, you know that, as you said before, there is no such thing as spot reduction. So some of us have this propensity for having that little muffin top. First of all, maybe because of our age. Maybe we've had children. Maybe we're perimenopausal or in menopause, postmenopause. What happens is when we have reduced estrogen levels, estrogen keeps the fat in the lower half of our body. So sometimes what happens is we tend to have, when we have lower estrogen levels, we store a little bit more fat in our belly region. So hence the word, I think menopause is more that we start to look like a man as far as where our body fat goes. So, so there isn't like any one food. I know, people think that there is, or we'd like there to be, and if only it were so easy, that would be wonderful. But I'll give you a perfect example. I was speaking with a friend of mine on the plane the other day, and she said, I went on this diet. I did all organic vegetables, and I went on this cleanse, and da-da-da-da-da-da, fruits, vegetables, organic. And I said, let me ask you a question. Organic or not, do you usually eat that volume of fruits and vegetables? She said no, and she lost a lot of weight. She said no. I said, well, that's the secret. Unfortunately, we think that there's some magic food, or if we eliminate a food group, that's going to be the secret to better eating. But it still has a lot to do with, calories in versus calories out, and what are the foods that we're eating. So high-fat foods are very easily stored as fat.
Well, they are. Now, are there certain foods that will go less? I mean, if it's calories in, calories out, but are all foods created equal? If I eat 1,000 calories worth of grapefruit and 1,000 calories worth of ice cream,
Same? Because the grapefruit doesn't have fat in it, whereas the ice cream does have fat in it. So that's really the difference. But there are some better-for-you fats that you can have. So, for example, we know that avocados are a great source of fat. And those have been, when I've seen sort of articles and things loosely linked to reducing body fat and belly fat, avocados are up there. I don't think there's any science looking at it specifically with body fat, belly fat. But avocados and almonds, eating, fish, eating foods closer to the way they're found in nature. I often find that that's really important to do. And just eating more vegetables. I mean, I analyze a lot of food journals, and I just am not seeing that enough people are eating their veggies, no matter how much we tell people to eat them. You can eat a huge bowl of vegetables, and as you said, they don't have fat in them. They have fat in them if they're cooked in fat, but they don't inherently have fat in them, so they're not going to go right to your belly.
Well, now, Dr. Stoller, one common thread that I've seen when people talk about getting rid of some of the belly fat is fiber. Now, oatmeal to help, flush those digestive acids, sort of flush things out of your system. Fibers, lentils, nuts, legumes, things that have that fiber, and of course your vegetables.
Right.
And
right.
I never met a vegetable I didn't like, so.
That's right. And, the other thing is, are you eating foods that are higher in fiber? So foods that have high fiber, separate from the plant-based, the plant foods separate. You can buy breads, you can buy cereals, you can buy pastas that are higher in fiber. They don't have to be whole wheat as far as pasta. You can buy, more of the white-colored pasta, because people complain to me their kids won't eat whole wheat pasta. So, like Barilla Plus and Ronzoni make like a whiter pasta that has more fiber in it. So you can do something like that. But then when you go out to eat, when I go out to eat, because I don't know what kind of pasta they're using. So if I'm going to eat pasta, I eat it at home when I can control, what type of pasta I'm using. And a lot of times people think granola, granola, it's good for you, And a lot of times granola is loaded with fat, it's loaded with calories. I mean, it is good for you, but you know, you could eat a high-fiber cereal like a Kellogg's All-Brand Fiber Buds. You throw that in some yogurt, for example, like a Greek yogurt, a 0% fat yogurt, and you can sort of have, you know, a nice healthy snack. You want to throw in some almonds. You want to throw in some flax seeds.
You know, you can make your own granola that way, too, with flax and almonds. Add just a little bit of honey and some just raw oats, like even the steel cut. Mix it all up, lay it on a cookie sheet and cook it up, and you've got some really good granola.
Absolutely. So you don't have to buy the fancy, you know, store-cut stuff. And the other thing is I just went through a store just yesterday with some colleagues, and we were looking at all the different, you know, bars that are on the market and how many calories they have. And I think that's another area where people get themselves in a little bit of trouble by not really understanding, like, how many calories those bars have and what that means as far as their overall, you know, needs. Because some of them are very enticing and appealing when you look at what their claims are on the labels, whether they're raw, whether they're live, if it's a sports, if it's a calorie thing, if it's a protein thing. You know, you want to try to look for one if it's just sort of like an extra that's under 200 calories.
Now, what about clean eating? Because people hear about this sort of new way of clean eating, but it's really not clean. I mean, it's not new really at all. It's kind of the way we should be eating. By if you can't read the word on the label, Dr. Stoller, that's what I always tell people. Probably you shouldn't be eating it. Talk
Absolutely.
About clean eating and what does that encompass?
Clean eating is basically, again, eating foods closer to the way that they're found in nature. I don't want to say that there's an absolute rule of, you know, five ingredients or less on the label, because I don't know if that's fair to say. But, you know, you want to try to strive to eat foods in the way that they are found. So maybe with the exception of breads, as I was talking about before, but eating, you know, vegetables. You know, kale is a very popular vegetable right now. It's very versatile. You know, it can go into soups. You can saute it. You can, I crisp them up in the oven and make kale chips, and my kids love them. I mean, I think that there are ways to dress up vegetables. I think we just have to get a little bit closer in touch with cooking, because I think that we're very intimidated by cooking. So eating fruits, eating veggies, getting creative with it. And sometimes it's even getting creative with your leftovers. And, you know, can you take some vegetables, and if you had like a roasted chicken and, you know, could you throw everything together and make a soup out of it, and then, you know, eat it a different, you know, eat, you know, instead of like tossing out your leftovers, you just like make something else out of it. Or sometimes I make a pot pie.
I do too. I make really great pot pies. Now, if people were to look, because we know clean eating involves a full refrigerator and a less full pantry.
Right.
And so, you know, looking at that,
no,
but not necessarily. So that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Make a pantry for us. You know, we have about a minute and a half left here. Make
pantry
a pantry. What would people keep in there?
Okay, definitely you want to have a lot of, if you are too lazy to reconstitute, you know, beans, for example, or peas, then buy the canned version of them. But I have lots of those in my pantry. I have canned vegetables in my pantry, all different kinds of canned vegetables, just in case of an emergency. And, you know, sometimes if I'm in a hurry, I can just break open a can of corn or, you know, carrots and corn, and I can heat that up for my children, and that way I have something on the go. There's no excuse. It takes like 2 minutes to warm that up. So there's no excuse why you can't get some vegetables. And there's all kinds of vegetables that you can buy that are canned. And as long as you're looking at the ones that are lower in sodium, and some of them don't even have any sodium at all. So that is what you want to have. You can have canned soups and packaged soups. Campbell's makes some great soups that are in these like bags that are loaded with they have a lot of great vegetarian flavors.
And then grains. Like quinoa and your
quinoa, amaranth. I like to have
millet and oats.
Yeah,
I like
millet,
to keep those.
Yeah, bulgur wheat. I've been eating a lot of since we were in the Middle East over the winter. So, you know, there's a lot of different grains you can have. I like wheat berries. Again, they add a little something to the variety. I even keep things like miso soup packets around.
Oh,
you know,
I do too. I love having that around. In the last 30 seconds, best advice for clean eating and possibly reducing belly fat. 30 seconds.
Basically, drink a lot more water, get your exercise in, and make sure you're getting at least those 5 to 9 servings a day of fruits and vegetables. That is the secret to, you know, losing the belly fat.
It certainly is. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Train Your Body right here on Radio MD. Stay well.